All right. Welcome back, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us for part 7 in A Gathering of Momentum for NateMax TV. Tonight we have some beautiful people from all corners of the globe, some young youthful energy, and we're going to bring you some solutions tonight as much as possible. We have Tony Sayers, who's over there in Cambodia at the moment. We've got Billy Hartbeing from California, and we have Danny Brooks. He's in sunny England at the moment. So we're all on different time zones, but we're all on the same wavelength tonight. And we're going to talk about some interesting stuff, because this has been coming up for me a little bit recently, and it's to do with energy centers. It's to do with our energetic bodies, and it determines whether we're connecting to Mother Earth, where we're connected to ourselves, if we're grounded. And it's basically, we're going to tap on the chakra system or the energy centers, and we're going to also head into the removal of the chakra centers, which is a new phenomenon which is taking hold across the internet, and people are realizing that maybe this technology which is being laid upon our energy centers is not doing us everything that we thought it was doing, because there's a lot of white light woo-woo out there at the moment, disinformation, and we need to be very discerning of what we absorb into our vessel and what we also put out there. And we're going to head into some information to do with sustainability, living off grid, and also leaving a small footprint. And Danny's going to take us down the route of that, and we're going to flow on that. And Billy's going to bring us all back to heart-based living and really being connected to each other. And this is one of these talks where we don't know where it's actually going to go, but we're just going to take a stab at it and put it out there. And I want to thank all the people who weekly are putting beautiful feedback and information and like comments. It's really what keeps us going. You know, we don't get paid for doing these talks and putting the information out there. Some of the information that we are putting out there does get a lot of stigma attached to it and a lot of ridicule, because obviously we're the well bridges, we're the way showers. We're putting information that most people struggle to deal with. So I want to thank you guys in this talk, but also the fans and viewers out there who are sharing, liking, tagging and reposting us, and you really are our support network, and we thank you very much for it. So Tony, so you've basically had your chakra system removed, is that right? And could you give us a little bit of background information on that, so we can follow up on that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head earlier when you were introducing us all in terms of discerning information. There's so much out there at the moment, and a lot of it, as we know, is bullshit. Even within truth circles, there's a lot of bullshit being put out there, particularly in New Age circles, which is basically like the last honeypot before the gold mine. You know, there's so many people getting caught up in the whole love and light, you know, away with the fairies, law of attraction, you know, just think and it will appear, just think of a Ferrari and it will appear, and all this kind of woo-woo stuff. So I've always been very, very reluctant and very wary of New Age ideologies. It never sat right with me. But I never really thought about the chakras at all. I always just accepted them as normal. I mean, they've been spoken about in ancient texts, back in Hinduism, Buddhism, that kind of thing. So I never really thought about chakras too much. I just accepted them. And actually, I'm a Reiki practitioner as well, so I've done a lot of work with chakras. So I know how they work at quite a deep level, and how, you know, the energy healing works in that respect. Mm. But last year, I had real, I felt like I was, I had a constant cloud over me, and I really look after myself health wise. You know, I don't eat meat. I work out 4 or 5 times a week. So I knew it wasn't that. And I'm very careful of the vitamins, minerals that I'm getting in. And I just couldn't really figure out what it was. I just felt just this dark cloud constantly over me. Whatever I did, I couldn't shake it off. And I just really, I kind of put it out there that I just really wanted to get rid of this feeling, whatever it was. And like everything, you know, if you ask the question, it will be revealed. And I'm not saying that you know, this is the answer for everyone. This is just what I came across. And I had a very good friend who's an energy healer who's actually gone through a hell of a lot herself. And she was talking about the fact that the chakras are like artificial overlays. And basically that they are being used to harness our energy and to lock in where negative entities can find it easier to attach themselves and basically control us in not so many words. And then I thought about it, and the whole discernment, you know, it wasn't just a quick decision. I sit there and I think about things, and I just thought about it, and I thought, they actually just look like plugs from the film The Matrix, you know, where they're all plugged in. And I just thought, it's a fucking plug. That's what it is. It's a plug. And it just really at a deep level resonated with me. Mm. So I didn't really think about any of I got some more feedback, and she told me from her own experience. She told me from many other people that had had the work done that they immediately felt more grounded, felt less stressed, felt more comfortable with themselves, didn't have this the same level of anxieties and worries. Mm. I had the treatment done, and when, during the actual treatment, I felt like kind of little twinges within my body. So I knew something was going on. And if anyone's ever had Reiki, then they would understand that sometimes you get feelings within your body. And so immediately after that, the very next day, I just can't describe it. It just felt like that cloud had been lifted from my shoulders. It was like something was pushing me down, and I couldn't get rid of it. But the next day, this cloud completely lifted. You know, I felt a lot more grounded, just naturally happy. Right. And it's been 2 weeks since then, and I still feel like that. I just feel so calm, so relaxed, and so much less uptight than what I did before.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying that it's for everyone. I'm just saying that, you know, for me, it made sense. I kind of recognize it as some kind of system that is. The other thing I would say on this is because something is ancient or tradition doesn't necessarily mean that it's right. I mean, a lot of what we call traditions are some of the worst ideas ever. You know, and we see this a lot in meat eating debates, you know, about how ancient tribes, they've always eaten meat. So, well, hang on a minute, we're supposed to be evolving here. We kind of think of other things as well. So, just because something is ancient and tradition doesn't necessarily mean that it's right or even good for us.
Yeah.
And we have to bear in mind that this whole control system is in and of itself ancient. You know, the colouring scheme, they use all those bright, vibrant colours to symbolise the chakras as well. For me, it felt like part of the manipulation. And from an energetic point of view, I feel like a new person. I'm not saying that if you keep your chakras that the energy work doesn't still work and you can still feel balanced, because you can. So if you keep your chakras, that you can still have positive effects from energy work on your chakras.
Right.
My point is, these chakras, in my opinion, are a tool for whatever is behind this control system, whether or not they're archons or reptilians or whatever we're talking about.
Exactly.
I feel that these are like plugs to feed off of our energy and maybe bring people down that are not good. And I just that just completely felt what they were. It was like an aha moment, like the penny dropping. I just thought about it. It's like the plugs out of the Matrix. And
I'm glad you
so far
experienced that. I'm glad you've experienced that, Tony, because a lot of people out there who are listening to this might know George Kavassalis, and he's big on removing the chakra system. I've done a few seminars with George myself, and at the time, it was like, I'm just going to run with it for a while. But since you have actually said it, it's really popped into my mind, because a lot of people don't realize the Saturn Moon Matrix. So we have this soul harvesting unit sitting on the moon, basically projecting these frequencies down and stifling the consciousness of humanity. But each chakra links in with the ring of Saturn. So there's seven rings of Saturn, and you have seven chakras. So they reckon that Saturn used to be the old original sun, and now it's the dark sun. So this is basically where the information is being fed from. And then it's being sent to the moon, which is broadcasting it down to Earth. And this is getting pretty woo-woo, but, you know, David Icke outlines this pretty clearly in his seminar. So I think, why is there seven rings of Saturn? Why is there seven chakras? What are they doing there? Just because the Hindus believe in chakras, does that mean it's right because their religion's a bit older than Christianity? And Christianity, is that right? Because it's a little bit older than Islam. So we're just going back further and further on the same outdated beliefs. There's some good stuff in there, right? But it's all been obviously shifted and edited and changed and used as a control mechanism. But what you're saying and your personal experience, I would believe what you're saying over reading those books, you know, because you're here in front of me. It's now. It's not 2,000 years ago, and I see you, and you're real. You're not a man-made book which has been used to control us.
Yeah, and, you know, for me, it takes a lot for me to pin my nails to the mast, you know. I don't just come out with stuff unless I've really experienced it myself, and, you know, I was going to talk about a few things later on, but that I've personally experienced, because when you personally experience, you can express that with like Danny does on his land, you know, he's living it. So people are going to listen to Danny. And other people that are doing certain things in this whole movement. We've all got different keys to different locks. And, you know, I think if it is anything in religion, we should be questioning anything, right? But because it's just mind control. So it's just having an open mind. But, yeah, I think before the interview, we were talking about this. And I think where we are right now, I think, the physical, a lot of people are aware of the physical manipulation, taxes, you know, how the system is set up to keep us enslaved. I think that we have to push it a little bit further now and start going into the non-physical realms. I kind of feel like that's where the real, real deep answer lies. That is where it's the most taboo. That is where people are going to be reluctant to go. But the ultimate solutions, I think, will lie in the non-physical in terms of ending this manipulation once and for all. For me, I think getting rid of the chakras is a powerful way we can individually unplug, literally, from the matrix. But like I always say, you know, research yourself.
Yes.
You know, don't listen to what I say. Have a look into it. Discern the information. Use the trivium. And look at the information, see how it feels, and then off the back of that, do what you need to do. That's just my
something, because it came to my mind when you said the taxes thing, like what they're doing physically. So they're siphoning off, you know, your hard-earned money or whatever, your energy. They're doing the same thing spiritually. They're taking your spiritual taxes.
Sure.
So I just wanted to, you know, throw that out.
I was going to say, sorry, Tony, I did have a question, actually. When you say that you were leaving, you just gave up your chakras and they're gone.
Yeah.
Can you get them back? Is there a way to just say, for example, somebody did go out and they went, right, Tony's done it, I'm going to do it. And they get rid of their chakras and they go, shit, this isn't for me. Can I get them back? I was just curious, you know?
Well, it's a good question. I mean, I'll be honest, Danny, I haven't looked at that as an answer, but I believe in a universe of infinite possibilities. So I think that that could well happen if you so intended that to happen.
But I mean, other than that, I'm completely, I see what you're saying, and it does make sense. And when, as you were saying it, because when you first said, oh, I'm got rid of my chakras, I was thinking, hang, what? And then you went on, then you said about Reiki, and I thought, no, yeah. Well, you're making this up, because obviously, you know, I partake in Reiki myself, and I know you had my chakras aligned a few times, but I guess
me too.
Yeah, essentially what you're saying, it does.
Yeah, when you're aligned, you've had a Reiki session. Reiki for me was very, very pivotal in my whole awakening, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
So I would never diss Reiki.
But the chakra thing, it was as you were saying, it just blew my mind. I was thinking, damn it, you're right, you know, it does make sense.
But funnily enough, just with Reiki, leading up to this chakra removal, for some reason, because obviously you can do Reiki on yourself, and I used to do it a lot on myself, but for about 6 months, I just haven't really felt like I wanted to do it on myself, and I can't really explain why, but now I'm thinking it's maybe something within me kind of, you know, it didn't resonate so much anymore. But it is a taboo topic. It's very, it's a big one for people to get their heads around. I honestly believe that they are plugging into our chakras. I don't say that lightly. But that's what I feel they're doing. What other people want to make of that, then that's up to them.
And I suppose with, obviously, your chakras, when you get them aligned, that's when you feel great, you're balanced, and it's all brilliant. But if you don't have them, then you just feel great all the time.
We actually have, I think it's three other chakras behind these chakras. So we have, these are overlays. So we still have chakras, but there's just three. I believe it's three. The heart being the main one. It's three, Neil, right?
That's right. So what the background information on this is that we have energy centers. You know, we have our crown, we have our heart, and obviously the earth chakra, I think it might be. What they're saying is that these are at old Atlantean technology overlay, which has been emplaced on us, because when we've come down here, obviously we've had our genetics changed multiple times as the human race is being constantly shifted and changed. We've been here five times now. This is the fifth seeding we've been on Earth. Each time they've tried to genetically alter and make us better. And this is the best, basically, example that's ever been here. But we're only running two strand of DNA, not our available 12 strand of DNA. We're only using 2% of our active DNA, and our scientists, they call the rest of it junk DNA, right? But we know that that's our Akashic record. That's our emotional, physical, our memory, our connection to Earth from every single life and every past life we've had. That's what we can go into. So doing the inner work is actually going in and accessing the soul code genetics, right? And this is when we start getting into accessing our own DNA, going in there and seeing who we are and upgrading and pulling things in and out and activating. So yeah, what this technology could be is that the chakras are actually overlays onto our physical vessel. We've got all the chakras, and these are avenues for them to feed off our energy. So we could be, in that sense, living in like the Matrix, where imagine we're on this plane existence here, and rather than, you know, the Matrix, how they pull the people out and use them as batteries, this could be the cords where the energy is coming out. So we're getting.
That's what I saw when I thought about it. I saw the batteries, and they were the plugs.
Yep. So we're cutting off the plugs. I mean, I haven't been for taking the chakras out, but the last half an hour when me and Tony were speaking before, it really resonated. I was like, I'm definitely getting that done. That's the idea behind it, Danny, that something's been placed on us artificially as a means to energy harvest us. So that's the kind of bit of background information and what I've read and what I've heard and so forth and so on. So, yeah.
Interesting.
And you obviously feel more beneficial for it. You obviously feel. Yeah. I mean, you said it's been 2 weeks. I mean, obviously, 2 weeks hasn't been.
It's still short. I mean, playing devil's advocate, it could be placebo. You know.
I don't
know what I just. Sorry. You know what this brought to mind is the cutting off of the chakra and the connection, if you will. Because, you know, when I had done DMT a few years ago, I was able to see that kind of operating room where I was like in an incubator. I don't know if I ever told you that, Nate. But it's and they're telling you in all the movies. I don't know if you guys seen the movie Passengers.
Yeah.
I highly recommend watching that if you haven't seen it, because they do it in that movie. I mean, it's these people, they're all, man, it's so fast. I wept like a baby throughout the whole movie because it was just activating dormant stuff in me. I was like, oh my God.
Me too, bro.
Basically, long story short, these people were all on the ship and they were in transit from one world to another. But because it would take, you know, the distances are so far, in the meantime, they would plug into virtual realities and have a lifetime experience so that by the time, so they'd go into hibernation mode. And so 90 years, you know, they're having a lifetime so that when they pop back out, I know it's off topic, but by the time they pop back out, they had a whole lifetime experience on Earth or some planet, and they pop out to their real bodies. And then they'd be on some paradise planet. So I'm wondering if the removal of the chakra thing is—it's almost like you're just like an avatar, where they decided he disconnected from his other body, and he's like, you know what? Screw it. I'm just gonna stay down here. Yeah, that's kind of what it brings to mind, you know? Because that's what it feels like. It's like, you know, you're just like cutting the cords. You're like, I'm here. That's it.
Yeah. Well, Mother Earth.
Well, I mean, someone else brought up an interesting point the other day, who I was speaking to, just about Reiki and energy, and that it's like when you do Reiki, you're drawing it from something else, when actually we have that in us, we have that energy in us. So almost like even the way we're taught that, and I haven't experimented it with that way yet, but it's interesting when you look at it. I guess it's still giving more of our power away, isn't it? We're looking at things outside ourselves when, in fact, we've got that energy within us.
Yes. Well, it's an external thing where people like drawing in white light, alien, reptilian white light, we're drawing it in when we have a universe in our heart. Our heart space is a universe in itself, and we actually expand out. So I've changed my whole way of – I've gone through – I've actually done a lot of courses with – things that have like set me off track a bit. I did a whole bunch of spiritual stuff with like the gurus, and I did all these seminars and courses with chakras and all that. And what I do personally is I focus on the heart. There's definitely the mind's eye, which is our information channel, you know, information portal, the heart chakra, Mother Earth and the sun. That's what I focus on, you know. And when I'm rebalancing myself, I'm like clearing my channel. So we've got a channel that connects us to the stars. It also connects us to the earth. And if we're not grounded, then we can't actually connect up either. And that means I find when I'm not grounded, I wake up a lot during the night in my sleep, and I'll be up, but I'll be hallucinating. So I'll still be in my dream, and it might be 5 minutes where I'm kind of walking around trying to work out where I am. And it's because I'm not grounded. It means you need to ground more, because you're not coming back into your body properly when you've been off on the astral state. So it's like, I think it's getting back to basics and knowing what we can feel. We can all feel our heart, right? Our heart goes off and it gives us signals. It gives us information. And that's obvious. There's no doubt about it, that we can all feel our heart. Well, maybe not Hillary Clinton. She probably can't. But everyone else on the earth, they can, you know. So let's work with the heart. It's definitely there. Let's nurture and love that heart, and the things that make the heart sing. Let's do them more. You know, if grounding for you is, for me, it's in the ocean. I just swim and I dive like a dolphin. I just constantly dive and swim across the bottom until I feel good. And that for me is like a little non-religious baptism. You know, that's my thing. If I get to the beach enough, no matter what's going on, no matter how much I'm up in my head or up here, that brings me back to earth. And I'm very present after that, very relaxed and calm. Where if I haven't done any grounding techniques, if I haven't been doing my meditation, I find that I'm all over the shop. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. I'll start doing something over here and I'll forget what I'm doing. Then I'll go do things over here and the whole day will be like that. It's like a crackhead, you know? It's like a crackhead without taking any drugs. And that's how quickly it can happen this day and age, because we're getting bombarded with frequency. We've got food and all types of things going on around us. We're kind of a little bit open. We're empathic. So we're picking up on people's energies who are around us. So you're on a crowded train. If you're not protected, you don't have any protections on, you're not in your heart, you're not grounded, you're going to be picking up on all those energies around you, and you're absorbing them because you're like a ball of light, you know? So these energies are then feeding off you. So everyone's feeding off each other. These things are trying to feed off us. Other people are feeding off you, whether they realize it or not. You know, when you guys would know, you have these people who come up to you and they're just like, there's just something about you. I don't know what it is. And it's not they're doing anything wrong. They're just attracted to your energy because you're in your heart. You know, especially guys like you guys, there's not many people out there, especially in the Western world, blokes who are actually in their heart, you know how to hold and nurture a woman and how to be respectful to people and to speak truth and look in the eyes and these simple things that we've lost. The people who do that, it's very attractive for people to want to hang with them and mesh with them because it's like, wow, that's that nurturing thing that we all should have, but we haven't had it. You know, we might have had parents that have been a little bit disconnected and they've gone through the Great Depression, that era, so their idea of affection is like...
It's a divine feminine coming back, isn't it?
Good work, son.
The sacred masculine of action and the care of the feminine side, the balance of the individual.
And that's exactly what we as guys need to do. We need to be strong masculine energy, but also have that feminine balance where we can do the other side and merge that too. And that's what Max Spears was talking about before he passed, about merging the masculine and feminine, and that energy is the most powerful energy on the face of the planet. Because we don't, and when that's happening, we won't have these women which are going down the route of being lesbians and feminists, you know. We won't have men that don't know if they want to have sex with men or women. It's going to rebalance, and it's going to be like the way it is in nature, you know. It's going to come back into harmonious balance, and we're going to see families coming back together. We're going to see people thinking about religion and all these control dogmas, and they're going to be like, that doesn't fit my heart, not my belief system, but that doesn't fit with what I want and need in life, and that's love. And if we don't have love in the world, well, we might as well forget living here, right? Love's the most important thing and probably the most scarce thing to find this day and age.
Absolutely.
I have to agree. I think if you're going to do something, you have to do what you love and love what you do. Do you know what I mean? You need to be able to say, what I'm doing is for me. What I'm doing is going to create a positive outcome for people around me and myself, you know. Stop doing this whole, I'm going to go off and work for someone else, miserable and negative. And it's all about money and greed at the end of the day. And there's no love there. You know, there is no love when there is money and greed involved. You just can't connect to the things that matter, you know, the family that are around you, your friends, you know, even yourself. You neglect yourself because you're just so busy trying to impress other people. It's all about just love yourself and just love doing what you do. I have to agree completely.
Basics, right? Back to basics.
Definitely.
And we need a little thing each day where I say to people, as soon as you feel yourself coming out of balance, just sit and stop and just take 6 to 8 nice deep breaths, close your eyes and just smile. Just smile and be thankful for what you have. And that 6 to 8 breaths, man, that's enough to bring you back and go, what actually was I worried about? Like, was I really worried about that insignificant stuff? And if we can get that much profound.
That's what it is. It is just insignificant stuff at the end of the day. Just insignificant.
And it makes it seem so small, right? Our little problems. You know, when you see that picture of the earth and it kind of goes out, 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 it'll be you, then your house, then your street. And then, yeah, and you realize these little problems, man, like they're nothing. Let's forget that stuff. Let's work as a collective. Let's push forward. And the hard thing is, what I've found is that the material world keeps us locked in, right? But you guys are not examples of that because you've exited the matrix. You're fringe dwellers, you know. But
I know.
The billboards, the people you hang out of work, like a real close friend of mine is a paralegal and she goes to work and she has to deal with, they look at what handbag she bought on the weekend and it's like, if you're in law, you know, you're being judged by your clothes, by your car, what you do, how you hang out with. And that for a lot of people is a scary thing to break free of. Like it's quite scary to break from that mold because that's their little safety net. Like that's who I am. I'm a paralegal. I'm a barrister. This is my crew. So I have to act this way accordingly or I'm not going to fit in with the other people and then I might not be part of the group. Then I'll be alone. And if I'm alone, then what am I going to do, right? Because human beings don't know how to be alone and they don't know how to sit in their own thoughts and in their own way of life. I ask people, I go, hey, who are you? And the first thing that comes up, they're like, oh, I'm a plumber. I'm like, I didn't ask for that. I said, who are you? And they just kind of think. And 9 times out of 10, the person will be like, I've never been asked that before. And then I'm like, what do you enjoy doing in life? Like, what would you do if you had all the money in the world and all the time? What would you be doing? Would it be painting? Would it be watering the garden? Would it be gardening? Would it be, you know, singing? Would it be just walking your dog down the beach? Like, what do you enjoy doing? And that little comment alone is enough to shift people into a way of thinking. And it's like, wow.
Can you imagine living in a world where instead of asking each other what we did for a living, we asked each other what our dreams were, what we created that day? I mean, this is where we go eventually. It's just whether or not us poor bastards get to see it, you know?
Yeah, that's it.
we're basically cleaning out the gutters. So, but yeah, I mean, that's what it's about. We identify, you know, we identify success with material wealth and earning and jobs. You know, this is crazy. I mean, it comes back to people questioning their own existence, because unless you question your own existence, you're only ever going to be accepting of what you're actually part of. Mm. And for me, it took 33 years of working for corporations to think, oh my God, is this all I'm here for? There must be more to that. And then what happens? Information started to come, and there was more. And that's part of the problem. People are not asking the big questions in life, like, why am I here? What is my purpose? Is there a God? You know, because you won't find out those answers unless you ask the questions in the first place.
It's very surface level, isn't it? The conversation that's happening. I went out to a place, you know, Sydney Harbour, because, you know, the Opera House, that thing, the Opera House there. It's a big kind of funny looking building. There's a bar under that called Opera Bar, and it happened to be someone's birthday, and I haven't been out for a long time, like out. And I thought, this will be interesting. Like, it's probably been 5 years since I've been running around the city, you know, causing havoc. And I went out and I was walking in there, like, I don't drink or anything, walking through, watching everyone. And it was just already, I was just like, wow, this is really different from 5 years ago, because everyone's locked into social media now. People don't actually want to go talk to someone. They want to actually see that person, find them on Tinder or find them on Facebook, then like them when they get home and send them a booty call. But we're sitting in a little group, and I'm really into people watching. Like, one of my things is I like just watching people. I'll sit somewhere where there's a coffee shop, hordes of people, and I'll just be there sipping away, like, like, I really like that. And so I went to the bar a few times with a couple of girls, and as I'm walking through, I noticed all these tables of beautiful single women, just, well, maybe not single, but they're all together with no guys. So there was table here, table there, four there, three, five. And then I noticed there's a whole horde of guys at the back kind of standing around the outside. I'm like, this is strange, man. There's a lot of pretty girls here. So on the way to the bar, the next time I just popped into a table, and I'm that guy that goes and talks to anyone. They're like, they think, oh, the one, you're really drunk, two, on drugs, or what do you want? You know, I just go talk to people.
So how dare you talk to me?
Yeah. I go, girls, where's all the guys? And when I said that, they all looked at me and they're like, first they thought that I was saying it, paying them out. And I go, seriously, there's five beautiful girls sitting here. Why isn't there girls, guys buying you drinks? Why is dancing going on and communication? And they go, that's just how it is in Sydney. They go, guys don't do that. They just get on the rack over there or whatever, and they get really drunk, and that just doesn't happen. I go, what? So there's no communication anymore? People just don't basically communicate? And she's like, no, just probably get a message on Tinder later. And I was like, so that's how far the world shifted in just 5 years? So I've only been off the grid for, like, you know, 4 to 5 years. And that was so obvious. Like, that's a real big disconnect from society, isn't it? Like, that's this channel we're talking about, this connection, that's been severed. There's no connection to the heart. There's no connection to other humans. It's like this very robotic, artificial scenario playing out. Like, what is that?
Yeah, this is the danger of technology, isn't it? I mean, we can use it for good like we're doing now. I mean, there's the four of us, LinkedIn all across the world, getting important information out. But like you say, you just have to go to a restaurant and look at... I mean, I was at a restaurant here a few months back, and there was this couple, and the guy was just... I'm not lying, he was just the whole meal looking down at his phone. I mean, I don't think he looked at her once.
See it all the time.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, we are so disconnected. And I actually think that we're living in a time where if there wasn't all this technology, I think we could actually start to hone our telepathy. Mm. This is the one thing that I'm really interested in. Mm. And I think all the Wi-Fi... this is my idea anyway, all the Wi-Fi and all the soup, the electromagnetic soup, is to, they knew this was coming these times, and they knew that our telepathy would increase. I mean, I don't know whether it's just for you lot, a lot of more knowledgeable, conscious people, I never really know what to use for the word, awake, whatever you want to call it. Always seem to have this thing where, you know, you can be thinking of someone and the phone will ring, or you'll think of someone, then you'll get a text message through of that person, or it'll just pop up. And I think that this is something that is really, I think the energetically, we're in a time where we could actually make a big use of that. And they kind of knew this. So they've developed all this soup to stop these to stop this ability that we have. So that's something I'm really interested in learning more about, and I'd love to like set up some kind of experimental group. You know, like in Ghostbusters, where they had the opening scene where they had to guess the cards or whatever it was, and they got electrocuted. But not quite like that. But you know, something along those lines where. You know, maybe we've got people around the world, and we have these exercises where we try and guess what we're thinking. I really think that we have these abilities, and this whole internet is preventing us, this whole technology is preventing us from honing those.
Well, it's disconnecting us, isn't it, really, in a way? I mean, like you said earlier, I mean, it's a great way to talk to people. I mean, obviously, we wouldn't be having this conversation without technology, because bugger waiting for a carrier pigeon to come back from Cambodia, you know. So technology has its uses. I just think it's ruling our lives. That's the problem. Yeah. Because I'm just the same, and I mean, I'm going for off-grid self-sufficiency. I have two mobile phones, an iPad. A computer, a laptop. I've got all these things. I mean, I don't use the laptop anymore. So I suppose that's one thing. Mm. Still got the computer. I'm on the iPad now. I've got two phones. You know, it's just one of those things where technology, you're taking it everywhere. I'm going to go for a walk, grab my phone. I'm going to sit down, grab the iPad. You know, it's just find alternatives. Just find an alternative to picking up the technology and just wean yourself off of it. I think it's the only way to really get somewhere. Without technology,
the other problem is that if you're it's like on Facebook, it's like the family, isn't it? It's like the awake family, and you always want to be in touch with your family. It's that's what I find, because you know, interacting with normal people, you know, you can't really have talks with them about removing chakras and you know, archons like. Manipulating their energy field, so it's kind of like your family you can talk to, they're all online, they're all around the world, so that's the other reason it gets me.
There's nothing inherently wrong with any of this stuff, it's just how we use it,
you know? Exactly. Yes, yeah,
nothing wrong with food, just how you use it, nothing wrong with your phone, except you know, you're fucked up, phone. Because the reason you know we still have them is because we know that. You know, everything we do is for more energy. And so we know that our phone has to give us a whole lot more, you know.
It's great in a way. I mean, because obviously if you're lonely and you're feeling down, it's great to be able to pick up that phone and phone your friend, phone your sister, phone whoever, you know, to bring you back up. But like you say, it's how you use it. I was saying just yesterday, I had a couple of friends around and we were sat there, and at one point, all three of us were on our phones. And I just looked up and I thought, what are we doing? Why are you here? Why are you here? You could be at home and we could do this. We could talk, you know, put the phone down. Let's just have a chat, you know, let's just do something that doesn't involve not doing, you know, something together.
Yeah, I actually take a book with me everywhere because I get so embarrassed when I sit around, everyone's on their phone. I have my book everywhere I go. I've got my little leather pouch and my little leather wallet and my book is in there. And because I'll sit at the restaurant, I'm watching people and like, I just see that picture where there's all those people standing on the train station and everyone's got their head into a phone and there's one guy and it's circled and it says, in news today, man was spotted not on his iPhone. And it's like one dude standing there normally at about 50. And that's bad, man. Like the fact is, when you're worried about your messages coming through your phone, you're definitely not present. You're definitely distracted because you're thinking. Like you don't sleep as well if your phone's on, and you shouldn't sleep with the phone on anyway because there's Wi-Fi and radiation coming out of it at all times. And if you are putting the information out like we are, they can just track your phone and they just send the signal down and they can fuck you up in your sleep. So it's good to always chuck your phone off, put it away from where you're sleeping. I was talking to Harold Krausfeller, who I'm interviewing on Friday, and he gets targeted individual stuff quite a lot. And he reckons that basically it's automated the way that they target people. So what they'll do, they'll know where your bed is in the house. And then a certain time will come past and you'll feel that frequency come in. And what he does when he's on tour, he'll lay on a sofa and lay there for a while, and then it'll come and like target him thinking he's going to bed. Then he gets off the sofa and he goes and sleeps on the bed, and he says it doesn't move from there, type of thing. That's a bit probably further down the rabbit hole with what he's
been. No, I like that. That's interesting. I wonder if the chakra, if that links into chakras as well.
I was going to say that could be interesting. That's to really go good. With the chakra. Yeah.
I mean, imagine that. Imagine the whole way that they're hooking in is through these bloody chakra systems. And
imagine, yeah. It wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, well.
It is. Very interesting.
It is a way through the lower. To the lower ones.
Yeah, the primal instincts, isn't it? We're all locked into the sex
they
money.
They call them organic portals.
Right.
OP. And these are people. I mean, we all have it to some extent. The only difference is we just, you know, we realized there was a problem. And so we started trying to do something about it, not trying.
Mm.
What they, you know, it's just turned off individuals. And you could see it, you know, I mean, a lot of times even, I don't want to say any names, but even, you know, people close to me, and it hurts, you know, getting this deeply into yourself, because then when you, you know, you want to connect to others at that level that you're at, but you can see, you know, because we're thought form beings, and so we're basically a thought walking around, and we're encased in our thoughts. And so, you know, polluted thoughts, polluted life, and all this. And I can see people, they're like an incomplete thought. I don't know if that makes sense. They're basically like they're a manifested nightmare. Because in order to do what we do, because we got this crap, this trauma, like hidden, you know, under the, you know, layers of stuff. And so, And I know from personal experience, that's what I've manifested in my life. You have to like live through the nightmare.
Mm.
And so some people are like just this dormant fear, and they're just literally living this like polluted thought in their head. Mm. That's, you know, I don't know.
And a lot of that they're getting from media, propaganda, news, newspapers, and everything in this media machine that they just keep throwing at us that is fearful. Yeah. All of it, you know, everything. I don't watch telly anymore. I just don't even have a television anymore. But I'll catch glimpses of the news or newspapers. And I just, are these people for real? It's like, I'm reading it. I just said, this can't, people are walking past this, reading it. It's like, you have to be.
In many ways, it's their own fault. I mean, if you're going to pick up the Sun newspaper and take it seriously, then, you know, whose fault is it really? Is it the Sun newspaper?
Well, they're paying for it, you know?
Yeah,
who is choosing to buy a newspaper over buying, you know, some food or a bottle of water? I'm thinking, what is wrong with you?
Yeah.
What is wrong with you?
Not just a newspaper, that's only a few bucks. People are paying thousands of dollars to go to college to pay for their own destruction.
Yeah, putting themselves in debt completely to the point where they cannot even buy a newspaper. Yeah. But as long as they can get that uni, the university credit email.
I learned this from some esoteric stuff I've been getting into. But when you get a college degree, of course, it's the degree to which you've been programmed. Is how I like
to interesting.
Right.
Yeah. Wordplay. Yeah. Indoctrination.
And then you put your satanic black cube hat on.
There's the full symbology of the graduation cap on. They're squaring the circle, boxing the infinite, because circles are, you know, representations of God. That's where we get the word church from, is circle, is kirka. Because a circle is supposed to be God. But anyway, and they're putting the Saturn cube.
Yeah.
That's why they have that, you know, the cube there. Broadcasting these cube, what do you call them, sine, whatever waves, and a sine wave is a sin. That's where we get the word sin from. You just drop off the E.
Hidden in plain sight.
Yeah. But apparently on the diplomas or whatever the degrees, there's they stamp it with a seal, like a golden, you know, this thing where they hold up the little thing, and there's a stamp on there that they apparently, and you know, this is from somebody who's like, who used to be on the, you know, dark side of the occult. He told me that those things are actually demonic gateways. So when you have, because, you know, they use sigils and insignias and symbols. That's why when you see, you know, the Starbucks logo, which is, you know, their god, the fertility goddess Ishtar, which is the Easter.
Yep.
So that stamp is, and when you put it and you hang it up in your house, it's kind of like like an entry. It's like a boom. They stamp you. It's like the passports. There you go.
Yes. Symbolism is a language in and of itself, isn't it? It's always talking to us. It's just we're blind to it. Most people don't think there's any meaning in these. And that's another thing. I think learning the occult has got to be an essential part of the solution, because that's where the real keys lie into what's going on, the hidden knowledge. That's what a cult means, the hidden. So what you're saying there is, we all have to get up to speed with all this occult and start uncovering it all.
The magic, yeah.
Yeah, and occult is not actually dark either. Like we keep, a lot of people hear the word occult and they automatically think that it's dark magic, because there is just energy on this planet. And it can be used for good or bad. So you've got people who use blood. They use blood ritual, right, which is, you know, harvesting that energy and using it in a negative way. But you can also write intentions and you put your own blood over it, and it's called blood over intent. And that amplifies it. Your own blood is your DNA and your vital life force. And you can use your blood over intent, to create what you want in a more powerful way. People don't realize that. It's not just bad. It's whatever you want to use your intention and focus it towards. And what you're saying earlier, Danny, about these people, like they're running a story, right? These people are reading the newspaper, or whatever, and they're what they're doing is they're actually embodying their own story. They're creating a story for themselves, and they're embodying it. So they're like, I'm this person, and this is who I am, and this is the world around me. They're not rewriting their own story. And we're at an age now where we know we are the creators. We are creator beings, and we can rewrite our own story. We don't have to listen to what's going on, and then that's going to be what's going to happen to me. You know, we have our own story that we're writing right now, each moment, and we're writing it with our intention. We're writing it with our consciousness. We're writing it with the people who we're connecting with and what we want in this world. And it's for people out there, I feel it's so important for you to not get caught up in your parents' story or the trauma, what happened to you when you're a child, or your scenario in life, and say, that's just how I am. That's just life. These are very depressing, disempowering words and things that we use, because we are responsible for creating any existence we want within reason. And I really want people out there to understand that wherever you are at this point in your life, you can shift and change that. And the first step of that is changing your thought process, changing your view on yourself, giving yourself the love you deserve, giving other people the love they respect. For example, even to do with, like, if you have a car, right? You don't wash your car for ages. Eventually the car, when you don't wash them or take care of them, things end up going wrong, and the energy of the car is different, because everything has energy. Every single thing on this planet has energy. You know, everything's living sentient being, because the car was made from metal, which came out of the ground. We put our hands on Mother Earth and we're connecting to the earth. Where do you think everything that we're living, our clothes, everything's come from the earth. So everything has an energy. When you wash your car and you take care of it and you clean the windows and you vacuum it, automatically when you drive it that next time, the car feels different. Yeah, it actually feels different. And we have to be like savvy with everything in our lives. And if we're not giving ourselves that inner love, if we're not giving ourselves that love and taking care of us in all facets, as above, so below, if we're not doing exercise and not eating good food, if we're not clearing the mind and balancing, there's like all these steps. If we're not doing a few of them, then what we're projecting out there is not going to be what the universe is going to create for us, right? Because what we focus on is what we're bringing into our existence. This is a, you know, universal...
Sorry. I was just about to go back to what you were saying about the car.
Yeah.
My car is absolutely filthy. Like, I am rubbish with my car. But on that, saying that, while you say that, I'm thinking to myself now, my car's fine, but for the last couple of weeks, it's been a little bit pissed off at me. Do you know what I mean? It has, and I've just been ignoring it. I've gone, I'd get the tyres checked. Yeah, the MOT's in February, whatever. It'll be fine. But now I'm thinking, I'm going to give it a clean. I'll take it through the car wash and I'll see if that changes the mood of my car.
It. You're going to wash it. You're not taking it through the car wash.
I have to wash it.
And you're going to vacuum it and you're going to give it love and say, there you go.
It's in the car, man.
It's like a feng shui, isn't it? You know, if you, I don't know about you guys, but if my room's a tip, I feel like shit. I have to.
Oh, yeah, I go crazy. Absolutely crazy.
I mean, I'm not anal about it, but I have to tidy it up because it's like you say, everything is energy, even to the point of like, yeah, just an untidy room.
Definitely.
And if energy goes where intention flows, so if something's not moving, it's either dead or it's dying, you know, so it's very important to, especially like simple things I say a lot of people is you open up your closet and there's all these freaking clothes from like 7 years ago that you used to wear. And it's like, yeah, there's this thought process that, oh, I'll wear that one day. It's like, when? Like, when all the other clothes get burnt in a house fire, when I go back to bodybuilding and I'm 95 kilos and I'll wear that retarded MC Hammer clothing, you know? That's never going to happen again. So get rid of it. Old stuff, yeah. That's...
Minimalize.
Open your garage. Minimize. All those old things that you're clinging on to that, oh, me and my ex-girlfriend had this and I used to do this back in the day. That's just old energy. And there's an energy signature attached to that item that's actually probably got a bit of karmic residue on there. And it's stopping you from doing things. You know, you might be wearing like a ring, which is from a previous relationship. There's something majorly big about having jewelry on or something that resembles someone that you used to love and you're in a new relationship or those things, you know, there's a lot of kind of energy attached that would be slowing down your chances of finding your next love. How can you have love when you're connected to someone else by a cord and a ring or whatever it is?
Yeah. I think like tattoos as well, you know, the energy behind why you get a certain tattoo, I think can, you know, there's certain tattoos that they used to have that were reported to protect and things like that. So
yeah,
you know, I think every, like you say, everything's got energy. What you got there?
I got the Freemason symbol.
I've got the Eye of Horus as well, right, and the Key of Life.
Yeah, I find tattoos are kind of like a timeline in your life. You're going through all these scenarios, and it's like, yeah, I love that.
I have an eye there somewhere. I do actually have an eye on there somewhere. It's like, oh, I can't, you can't see it, but I have an eye too.
It's interesting how everyone gets these tats, you know, like it's interesting how they come about and the thought processes. And then like later on, you're like, wow, that was weird. That was something from my childhood or this or that. And this, you know, I end up getting a tat on my arm. Well, that was really good about the chakra system. And I just wanted to tap on that quickly before we get on to something else. The person who did this removal of your chakra system, is that someone that people can contact? Is that?
Yeah, basically, what I'm doing on Monday, I'm going to be interviewing her. She's going to explain everything about the process, what happens. Watch out for that. So she's good.
And that's on transcendingtimes.org?
Yeah, Transcending Times. So that should be up sort of midweek next week. Yeah, around about the 15th to the 20th of this month.
Okay.
And cool. She's going to go into it in detail.
Right. Now, I wanted to open up a little can of worms here. Me and Shane were having a conversation this afternoon, and it was to do with where do you draw the line on how far you go down the truth-seeking route? I don't use the word conspiracy because obviously we all know there is no conspiracies. There's facts behind everything. And because I find I'm in a group where there's a few different groups in my area, and some people are like, you know, they're beyond flat earth. They're into the whole, most of the elite people are clones, all the rest of it. And it's getting to the point where it's like, far out, man. Where do we actually toe the line, you know? Because I find it can be very disempowering to think that everyone out there is a disinformation agent. Everyone out there is working for the other team. Like you've got the Alex Joneses and the Donald Trumps and all these people. And it was a good convo. Me and Shane were, you know, back and forth, because I've done a few ayahuasca journeys recently. The plant medicine from the jungle. I'm not sure if you guys are aware of it. And I kind of got shown that I need to pull the reins back on a few things, because what we can do is basically separate ourselves from people who are out there on our team. And not only that, it makes us feel very small, like we're alone. There's not many people who are on our side. And me and Shane got into the topic of like Alex Jones and Donald Trump. And I've listened to Alex Jones for, I don't know, probably five years now, you know. His information is profound, but I hear things that people say, oh, he's a deep CIA undercover agent, yada, yada, yada. I'm like, that's sweet. But what about the 20 years of waking millions and millions of people up? You know, what about his line of amazing products, which are amazing nutraceuticals, which are there to help people detox to reclaim themselves? And certain little comments like, oh, his voice, or what was the other one who was saying, the voice, and a few things. But it was like, basically, we can discredit someone so easily over claims that are made, which may or may not be substantiated. And that means that 95% of that information, which is awakening, empowering, all the rest of it, is being totally discredited because we didn't believe, say, for example, you don't believe in David Icke's moon theory. His seminar is 7 hours long, of some of the most empowering information that I've ever heard. He links frequency, electricity, love, connection. He links everything in this one amazing ball. But if you watch the mainstream news, all they talk about is reptilians, which is like 1% of his talk, you know. It's like, where do we draw the line here with what we do and don't believe? And then if we grab a breadcrumb and then we turn it into a loaf of bread, we've actually just kind of shot ourselves in the foot a little bit too. Like, what do you guys feel on that kind of scenario?
I think people like discrediting somebody who has that much attention. Even if it's a good song, or even if it's true, for some reason, when too many people know about it, like songs on the radio, some of them are actually good, but overplayed. And he's just like, God, shut up, you know? So I think, I mean, David Icke, he woke me up. Like, he initiated me.
He was a part of my awakening as well.
He pushed me to the next level, you know. Mm-hmm. That was kind of like the big whammy for me. At first, I was like, oh, wow. But, you know, I mean, though, the reason...
And all the pieces slotted together.
Yeah, you can feel, I mean, he's doing beautiful stuff. You just got to go with your feelers on that. You got to... Because when you watch, these people lay it out truthfully. But for some reason, when you get away from that information after, and you kind of see the character for who they are and the stuff they're doing, you can kind of, I don't know, we like to discredit that for some reason or to...
No, I get it all the time, though. Like, people will say to me, they'll be like, I get like people messaging me saying, why do you lie to people? And these messages come out of completely out the blue. It's like, lie about what? Because sometimes some people say that I'm lying or exaggerating things because they don't quite know what it is I'm saying. And then when I say, well, just look into this, and they say, oh, okay, it makes sense. But some people, for some reason, they feel the need to tell me I'm wrong about things I'm actually doing. So they'll say, why do you lie to people? And so, well, what do you mean? Why do I lie? It's like, well, you don't live an off-grid lifestyle. You don't have land. You don't. And I'm like, I don't? Do I not? And yeah. I'm just thinking, why are you? And they do this publicly, like on Facebook, on posts, on my vlogs. Yeah. They do it all the time. Like, you know, they trolls or, you know, haters and people. They do come on. It's like, no, he's lying. And it's like, but people come here. And people start jumping on the bandwagon and they start saying, oh, no, he's lying because this one person said he's lying. And it doesn't matter that, yeah, you know, it is interesting why people are so quick to jump on that discredit.
A lot of people are just not happy in their own lives. And they're projecting their own unhappiness onto someone who is clearly happy with his life. And so I think I get a lot of that too, a lot of bitterness and, yeah, that kind of stuff. But in regards to the bigger picture, and I think it'd be naive to think that the system is not going to present disinformation agents. I think if you look at movements throughout history, they've always been infiltrated. Yeah. So I do think that we need to be on guard. And like Billy said, it's just showing discernment and watching someone's actions. I mean, Alex Jones, for me, doesn't resonate, especially his sidekick, Paul Joseph Watson, who's always pushing the Muslim division agenda. So I think to myself, well, if you're really in it for truth, why would you be having someone do that? And also that he's trying to keep people in the political game. He's encouraging Trump voters and just keeping people in that whole paradigm of statism and authority. So
never listen to a man's words. You just gotta, this is why the discernment is so important, because in this life, what we do and say doesn't really matter. At the end of the day, your energy is your credential.
Mm.
So when we get to that sensitive, when you leave here and, you know, there's certain portals and gateways you got to go through, and the gatekeepers, you know, it's our energy that's read. Nothing, I mean, we have, as it says in the scripture, you have to give an account for every word you've said, but words are just expressed, spoken thoughts, which are frequencies, you know, so. So at the end of the day, I mean, it's just important when I realize this, it's our energy is our credential. We don't need any papers. We don't need, you know, nobody gave, you know, I don't know what, you know, if you guys speak or whatever stuff you do, but nobody, you didn't need to get certified to do that by a human. It's your energy does, you know, and so when you open your mouth, beings that are within that range of consciousness, they know, oh, wow, okay, this guy's got something to say. Let's you know. But swine, that's the funny thing is, you know, do not cast thy pearls unto swine, because they can't recognize the angel staring at them.
Mm.
And it's funny, in the scripture, it also says that this one made me laugh because it speaks very true in my life. You know, when they're talking to the Jesus figure, and he had gone back to his hometown, he was respected everywhere. Jesus, he was doing all this healing stuff, all this, but when he went back to his hometown, they laughed at what he was doing because they'd known him when he was a boy. And Jesus, he expected this, and he said, a prophet will be respected everywhere except in his own home.
Yeah, wow.
His family will be his worst enemies. You know, little Nate, little Tony, you're like, oh, you used to poop in your bed. Now you think you're this big prophet, you know. we're respected everywhere except in our own homes.
That's so funny you say that, Billy, and also Danny, dude, because like I had this like attack on the Instagram the other day, and it was just like someone that used to live nearby, and they're like, oh, you talk about sustainability and all this stuff, but you live at your parents' house in a $1 million suburb, and it's like, okay, I'm living in my bus while it's being renovated. And then like this conversation came up about, and your Harley Davidson, your turbocharged car that you rev so often, like 7 years ago, 10 years ago, and I was like, where did this even come from? You know, like, and it was just so left field. And then I stood a bit back, but I kind of did. I don't have the Harley; haven't had it for years. I don't hang out with bikies anymore. I don't do any of that stuff. But it was like, it shows that something so old, that's the thought process still, from Are you guys the same as you were last week, let alone last year, let alone seven years ago?
Linear.
Give us a break.
Mate, I've had people offer me cage fights. No lie, cage fights. I'm not shitting you. Cage fights, boxing matches, literally offering me out online.
Shit. Yeah, that's the consciousness level there. But what you are putting out there, Tony, is shaking people's belief systems too. You know, and we've got to understand that most people on this planet, they have an emotional maturity of about a 5 to 7 year old. Like, that's not a joke, you know. If you say some negative comment to someone, they'll fire back, or they'll get defensive, or they'll start making up a false dialogue in their head, or they'll run off after and they'll make up a delusional story about what happened when that didn't happen at all. You know, they'll just lie to themselves about what really went down rather than facing the truth. So when we're putting things out that shake people's whole entire belief systems, you get people, like one of the big ones, you know, vaccines and things like that, because they feel responsible for not making the decision, doing the research. Or also back when we were kids and I was vaccinated, my parents didn't know any better, right? They just, you watch the news and you're like, yep, you vaccinate your kids because we're getting rid of polio or whooping cough or whatever it is, you know, where now I suppose that's kind of shifting, and we need to, in a sense, be compassionate for these people and not bite back. Like, I kind of bit back in a message and it was like, that wasn't very conscious, you know what I mean? That wasn't necessary. But also, it becomes annoying when you're doing so much to try and awaken people and help people and your intentions are pure. It's like, right, just because I'm helping other people and I meditate doesn't mean I'm going to take shit from you. Doesn't mean I'm going to roll over and stick my fingers in my ass and allow you to just do whatever you want to me. Like, don't think that I'm not this person I was. That shadow self's still there, you know? But I'm out there trying to help people now. So give us a break. It's not an easy gig. It's not an easy gig dealing with all these people all the time and copping the ridicule and putting yourself out there where, you know, I could be sitting there at Bondi Beach now, 3 swims a day with my transport company, making all this money doing that stuff, but I've given that up to help people. But people don't see it that way. They're just like, oh, that guy's lost it. I think
it must be great to live in a country where you can go to the beach and swim in the sea.
Yeah. Oh, dude, yeah.
You know, you guys are all in lovely hot countries, and here I am, England.
It's raining over here.
I'll be back there soon, Danny.
To be honest, though, today is actually quite a really nice day, which is good, because today is actually my birthday, so...
Hey!
Happy
birthday.
I wasn't going to say anything, because, you know, I'm a year older, but then I suppose that's what it's about, because it really... I was sat here this morning, I was thinking, Jesus, I am, like, you know, I'm not old, but you do obviously get older. And I was thinking, as you said earlier, Tony, we might not even be here to see, you know, a change in, you know, our societies, our communities and things. But that's why I think self-sufficiency, going off-grid, getting your family involved now is probably one of the most beneficial things you can do, you know, because if you have to leave something for the children, because that's what all it comes down to at the end of the day is, if we're not here and they're being taught by whoever, they're getting taught whatever they don't need to know, you know. And some people tell me this all the time. They say, like, you've got kids, and I'm like, yeah. And it's, do you send them to school? And I said, well, they're not that old yet, but what do you do? And all this time in my head, I'm screaming at them, no, I don't want them to go to school. They don't need to learn this stuff. What they need to do is know how to grow vegetables, collect water, know how to dig a ditch, you know, make their own clothes, make their own tools. And then they don't need any of, you know, they don't need that. And then people are, you're mad. Why would you just go to the shop? Well, why would you make your own clothes when you can go to the shop? And I'm just like, no, this is, you know, it's a constant battle.
I remember when I interviewed you, you mentioned there about leaving the kids something, and you mentioned that you said something that really stuck in my mind about Native Americans, how they think 7 generations ahead.
Yeah, yeah, you know.
And the society we're in now, they're not even thinking of their own generation. So
they're not even thinking about themselves. That's the problem. You know, a lot of people are under this illusion that what they're doing is good for them because it feels good. I'm going to go and get drunk because it feels good. I'm going to eat this because it feels good. I'm going to do these things because it feels good. It's a masquerade. It's a mask. You know, it's like, I'm going to, yeah. Yeah, they're just hiding. They're hiding what they're really feeling, how they really... And they are anxious, they're alone, they're depressed, and they don't know why. And it's because of their environment, it's because of their inner selves, it's because of their diet, their habits. It's sort of, it's a number of things. And trying to convince people this, it's like trying to convince a bee not to make honey. Do you know what I mean? It's, or a chicken not to lay an egg. It's almost natural to them. It's absolutely crazy.
And when you've been programmed for so long, it's like a lot of people don't wake up unless they have like a health crisis. They need something so profound that it scares the living hell out of them. That's a little bit why I've been going down the route of the plant medicines, because, you know, people in Australia and that, everyone seems to have cocaine everywhere and be drinking, where the plant medicine, the cocaine, you have it and then maybe you have an hour of whatever and then you feel like shit for the rest of the week. Where the plant medicine, you kind of go through, it can be hell for like 6 to 8 hours to then strip away layers of the onion to then have a better life after. So it's a complete opposite of what synthetic drugs are doing. And I've actually part of a sustainable community here in Sydney, Danny, and there's a whole bunch of kids up there. I'm actually networked with quite a lot of kids who aren't vaccinated and they haven't gone to school. And these kids are so smart. They are
beyond
the kids that are in school. It's not even funny. The questions that they ask me, I'm just like, how? How is this kid asking me this question? And like, they're looking at you in the eyes and they're like, and they're actually putting things together in their head. They're putting the situation together and they're doing critical thinking. And it's blowing me away, you know? And I want to say to all of my friends and family out there at the moment who aren't vaccinating their kids, there's so many of them who aren't. Like, they're all doing the research and they're not doing it. Like, good on you. Because there is so much fear out
there. Definitely.
There's so much fear campaign and it's diabolical what they're doing. You know, anyone who vaccinates their children this day, it just says to me they haven't done just one day of research. If you just do one day of research, you'll come to the conclusion unequivocally that it is poisonous, it's dangerous, it's depopulation, it's big pharma poisoning itself, it goes to satanic ritual, it goes to energy harvesting, to autism, all that stuff. It's foul. No one wants to talk about it. It's one of those things like pedophilia, like, let's just pretend it's not there and I'll just go on about my life and do my thing. Big thumbs up to the guys out there. You know who I'm talking to. And with the sustainable stuff, Danny, like, you're so right about not only giving stuff on to the kids, but when you get in the garden and you start planting that food with love and you with your family and friends and you're gardening together, there is something next level amazing about that.
Definitely.
Like, being in there, connecting with the plants, feet and hand in the dirt, like grounding like we should be, and the dirt actually releases these little proteids that go into the bottom of our feet, which makes us feel good, which makes us want to garden more. So there's this little like connection.
It is. It's addictive. It's addictive. Once you get started, you can't stop. You know, it is. It's like, it is like a drug almost. Because you get happy. You know, you just find yourself happy. You can go out there and you can be in the worst mood ever. And the only reason you're going out there is because you're in this bad mood. I want to get away. You're thrashing out. I'm going to take myself away. And you'll go out and you'll sit there and you'll think to yourself, I'm going to do some of this. I'm going to ponder here and pot this and do that. And you start finding, I'm quite enjoying myself now. Mm-hmm. You know, the same person that's annoyed you will come along and just say, you all right now? And you don't feel the need to thrash out. You don't come here. It's about unity. And I do have to admit, gardening is one of those things that will save the world. Everyone just needs to start gardening,
you know? I used to laugh at my dad, you know. I used to laugh at my dad standing there watering. He'd like be like a totem pole, you know, not moving, just going.
Yeah.
And I realized he was probably in like some meditative state, just zenning out. And all years later, I'm like, shouldn't have said that stuff to him all those times. Yeah, it's like, it's as we get older, like you just can't tell a 19-year-old unless they've actually got in and done it that, hey, come try this. It's actually pretty relaxing. You know,
definitely.
There needs to be cool people around that do it as well. It's about having,
but it's not just that, you know, it's the whole, like the whole process of actually, you know, doing it together. You know, you're not just doing it on your own. You're not being depressed and segregated in your own little thought pattern. You're being spoken to, like you say, children are asking you questions and they want to learn how is it growing? You know, it all becomes, you soon find out that everything in their world is so insignificant. if you know what I mean. Because when you can grow that food and you can see that food grow, and then your children are there and they see it grow, and they say, why do I need to go to school?
Yes.
Well, you need to go to school because you need to get a job. Why do I need to get a job? Because you need to get money. Why do I need money? Well, you need to buy. Oh, you don't, because, you know, you can do it yourself. And I just think it's so important that to cut the head off that snake, you need to start off with, you know, what you're getting from that snake, if you know what I mean. We're getting food, we're getting water. And the best thing is, it makes me laugh, really. It's like we said earlier, I think it was Tony that said earlier that we've been eating meat for, you know, thousands of years. And that's this big argument about how, oh, we can eat meat because we've done it for years. But is it really necessary? Because I always thought to myself that I would keep livestock. And this winter, I've been thinking to myself, is it necessary for me to labor myself with, you know, livestock or animals, extra mouths to feed? No, because if you don't eat meat, you don't need to worry about getting pigs, how to house pigs, how to, you know, keep cows. And